Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I am the resurrection and the life, Jesus says. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. It is this truth that we celebrate. And let us stand and join our voices and hearts together as we sing together the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. O God, our Heavenly Father, we praise you that through your Son, Jesus Christ, you have made a way for us who live under the shadow of death to live in the eternal light and joy of your presence. Jesus has overcome the grave, and in him so have we. Our life is hidden with you in Christ, and now there is nothing in heaven or on earth, in life or death, that can separate us from your love. For this, we praise you, O Lord. And in the light of this, the light of the resurrection of Jesus, we celebrate now the life of your servant, Chuck Thomas, whom you've called home. O Lord, by your Holy Spirit, would you comfort us in any sorrow? Would you teach us to number our days aright? Lord, help us to measure the weightier things and to lift us into the joy of your presence through Jesus Christ, our Lord, in whose name we do pray. Amen. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Let's join together in singing this first hymn, hymn 472. 472. And go. Please be seated. Reading some of Chuck's favorite scriptures. Some of them, he had a lot of them because he loved God's word. These two from Isaiah, I read from Isaiah chapter 40, beginning at verse 25. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal? Says the Holy One. Lift your eyes and look to the heavens, he who created all these, he who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Then from Isaiah 41, I took you from the ends of the earth. From its farthest corners I called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And then from, I wanted to add one scripture from Psalm 18. And Chuck was a military man, and this a Psalm of David, who also was a military man. For it is you who light my lamp. The Lord, my God, lightens my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? The God who equipped me with strength and made my way blameless. He made my feet like the feet of a deer, and he set me secure on the heights. You have given me the shield of your salvation, and your right hand supported me, and your gentleness made me great. Amen. Liz, I know you have some words of thanks to give. Come on.
The hovering husband, it's a good man. Good morning, and it is a very, very good morning. I'm going to read this word for word. One thing Mom and Dad taught us was to be thankful. And today, on behalf of my brothers Chuck and Drake and my Uncle Ray and all of our family, thank you. Thank you for being there today, being with us here today to celebrate Dad. Thank you, Richard and Christ Community Church, for your love, support, and your friendship. Thank you, Dr. James Ladd and staff at Biltmore Medical, for your loving care for Dad for so many years. Thank you, Givens Highland Farms and Lambert Hall staff, for your deep, deep devotion, friendship, and care of our father. And thank you, McDowell Care Partners Hospice, for making Dad's last days easier. So many, many kind words, acts of love for our family from dear friends. Thank you, thank you. With all that in mind, I want to share something that I just came across 2 days ago that was in Dad's stuff. I wrote this for him 4 years ago, and he was a true example of thankfulness, so keep that in mind as I read this. It's called The Little Boy with Loaves of Rye Bread and Fish, and it's based on John chapter 6, verse 9. Today I'm fascinated by this little boy. I think of Jesus climbing up a mountainside with his disciples and seeing a vast multitude, lots of people walking towards them. He asks Philip, "Where are we going to buy bread to feed all these people?" It was an impossible task. Yet Jesus had already provided in his plan through the lunch of a young boy. I wonder, did his mother put the lunch together? Was she including extra just in case? 5 loaves and 2 small fish is pretty hearty. Maybe she was thinking about others as she packed extra, having no idea that it would feed thousands. Or maybe this boy was independent and prepared the lunch himself, a hungry growing boy, a boy that had ventured out to see Jesus and wanted to be prepared. This idea of the boy reminds me of a young boy named Charlie. He would venture out into the woods to hunt squirrels, gather mistletoe from high in the trees, or just enjoy the mountains around him. He had a kind and loving but busy father who was a physician and a mother who encouraged him to enjoy life. When the twins arrived, Charlie was much on his own, but no doubt enjoying the idea of being a big brother. I think of his love of the outdoors, his willingness to help others, his respect for the military as he grew up in McCain near Fort Bragg. He has fond memories of loading his wagon with ice and Coca-Colas to sell to the soldiers. This independent small boy who had loaves and fish, this Charlie, who throughout life offered whatever he had to help others. His offering of serving our country through his love and talent of flying jets, his offering of teaching others to fly and demanding their very best, his offering of 25 years in the Air Force, sacrificing time with family so that we can enjoy freedom, his offering of leaving what he loved so his family wouldn't have to move again. Yet seeing God multiply that willingness to serve his community along with our mom and to share the love, grace, and mercy of Christ with others. His offering of bringing mom back to the mountains she loved, to the house she loved for their retirement years. His offering of service to his church as an elder and advisor in many ways. His offering of providing tender care to his wife of 50 years in the closing years, months, and days of her earthly life. His offering of love and compassion for those that need a job, help, or an encouraging word. His offering of bread, Jesus, the bread of life. His offering of fish, the encouragement to step out of the boat and become fishers of men and share the gospel with others. His offering of unconditional, steady, life-giving love to his family. I think of this little boy, Charlie, maybe much like the little boy with the lunch Jesus used to feed thousands, and I smile. Can you imagine the wonder as he saw God use what he had to do the miraculous? The life, the offering of a boy.
Thank you, Liz. It is well with my soul, hymn 573. Let us again stand and sing together. Hymn 573. Amen. Please be seated. Chuck's grandson, Thomas, when he was in high school, had to write a paper, on his grandfather. And so he'd had a number of questions that he asked him. And one of the questions was, what are some of your favorite Bible or scriptures? And one of these is 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 8. Here a scripture that marked Chuck's life and that he marks for us now. I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. You know, by any human measurement, Chuck Thomas was a great man, a loving husband. He was a father, elder in this church, a distinguished career in the Air Force. He flew 300 combat missions. That's an amazing thing. And what he never really let on was that he was one of the few who received the Distinguished Flying Cross It's given for participation, for heroism and extraordinary achievement while participating in aerial flight. And again, what I loved about Chuck is that he never bragged about any of those things. He received many other medals, but you never heard of that because he was so humble about everything in his life. Gentle and humble man. I mean, and we say this, and we could say so much more about this man. Tremendous, again, in, by every standard of human measurement. But if we leave here today just saying that, we have completely missed the point of his life. We failed to understand this man because what energized Chuck, what, in fact, the purpose of his life was Jesus Christ himself, because Chuck knew himself to have such a wonderful Savior in the Lord. You know, sometime within the last few years, Chuck made a five-page list, and at the top of that, he put this title, Known Protection. And he listed, and I counted through those things, and they were about 50 things from childhood on that he knew he was protected from. You know, just danger. I guess he got hit with a brick. Is that right? getting hit with a brick. There were bike accidents, car accidents, truck accidents. You know, things that he was protected from danger or death. Now, you might think, well, you know, bike, car, truck, even bricks. Yeah, that's on pretty much everybody's list. But there were also things like 50 caliber shell through the windshield of his plane, early detonation of bombs, SAM missile evasion, more distance than fuel, 300 combat missions. And he noted several of those were dangerous night missions. Well, you read through this list, almost 50 protections that he listed. But here's the wonderful thing about Chuck, that at the top of that page, he's listed known protections, but what followed it was answers to prayer. Because Chuck knew that every one of those protections was the hand of God on his life. God responding to his prayers or the prayers of God's people on his behalf. Well, this is Psalm 18, isn't it? For by you I can run against a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. You have given me the shield of your salvation, and your right hand has supported me. Now, for Chuck, being a follower of Jesus Christ was not some sentimental journey. It was not just believing a bunch of information. It was a daily thing. It was a daily living relationship based upon one thing, that Jesus Christ is my Savior. He is Savior in my life, and he is Savior in my death. You know, today we come face to face with our greatest enemy, and that is the enemy of death, and we all need protection from death. You know, it seems, if you read through, especially that list of known protections, answers to prayer, it seems like Chuck was always avoiding death. But death finally takes all of us, doesn't it? In one sense, it wins in this life, and it hurts. It just plain hurts to lose precious flesh, the ones we love. And in the pain of your loss, you know, for the family, I mean, you see and you feel what Jesus Christ saves us from. Well, part of our celebration, in fact, I would say the very heart of our celebration today, is that death is not the final word here. Jesus Christ is. God has overcome the grave, our grave, Chuck's grave, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And these words in 1 Corinthians 15 declare good news. That's why Chuck loved them, because it was the simple gospel. That Christ died for our sins. He was buried, and he was raised on the third day. We have in Jesus now one who in our flesh has overcome our most deadly enemy. The one we could never overcome on our own. But he has overcome it. And if Jesus has overcome it and our lives are in him, then we have overcome the grave too. And we think about that. If Christ has come out of the grave, what can stop him now? What, who can possibly stop him from bringing life to his people? Well, no one and nothing can stop Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of life. So Chuck's death is a loss, absolutely. But it's also a gift when you think about it, because it forces us to deal with death, our own death, and our need for protection from this great enemy. And so we have to ask the question, you know, what is your protection against death? And of course, sin is the wages, death is just the wages of sin. And so it's really about sin at the heart of that. And so what's our protection against sin and death? And if we don't have protection in place, then don't die, you know, because we're not ready. And the only protection truly against sin and death is the Lord of life, Jesus Christ. And so again, this is the gift that Chuck leaves us. It's his confession of Christ, that his life was lived by faith in the one who loved him and gave his life for him. And so if Jesus is not our known protection in this life, and as we face death, then we have no protection. But if we have confessed Christ, and I would invite you, and I know Chuck would invite you, if you have not, invite Christ, ask him to be your protection. For when he is, here's what lies in front of us. This is from Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Behold, I am making all things new. Write, for these words are faithful and true. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without cost. The one who conquers will have this heritage. I will be his God, and he will be my son. Well, we celebrate with Chuck his home going. And wow, what a joy Chuck must have experienced entering the very presence of the living God, seeing the face of Jesus and being reunited with his loved ones in Christ. And I picture it for Chuck something along the lines of what we read at the end of what John Bunyan writes in Pilgrim's Progress. Near the end of the book, he tells of one Mr. Valiant for Truth who crosses over death into the celestial city. And Bunyan puts it this way: it was noised about that Mr. Valiant for Truth was summoned to cross over death. And he said, I am going to my father's, and though with great difficulty I have come thus far, I do not regret any of my troubles. My sword I give to him that shall succeed me in my pilgrimage, and my courage and skill to him that can get it. My marks and scars I carry with me, a witness that I have fought his battles, who now will be my rewarder. Then the day came that he was to cross over. He went down into the river, and he was heard saying, Death, where is thy sting? And as he went down deeper, O grave, where is thy victory? So he passed over, and all the trumpets sounded for him on the other side. Well, the trumpets have sounded on the other side for Chuck. He is home. And in Jesus Christ, he has conquered death. But what of his sword? What is the sword that Chuck Thomas has left us? Well, it's not any weapon of war of this age. No, Chuck's sword is his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. For by his faith, he overcame all the battles of life. By his faith in Christ, he was protected, and now by faith, he stands in the presence of the living God. Pick up that sword. Faith in Jesus Christ, and so march on through the struggles of your life, overcoming by the love, the grace, and the truth of Jesus Christ, who alone is our Lord and our protection in life and in death. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray. Oh God, our Heavenly Father, we bless and praise you that you are the eternal dwelling place, the home of your people for all generations. We thank you that you have called home your servant, Chuck Thomas. And thank you that he is now beholding the very face of the Savior and the protector of his life, and indeed the giver of eternal life. Father, for all the ways that you blessed us through Chuck Thomas, thank you. As he moved among us as a father, as a friend, as an elder, as one who protected our freedoms, as one who loved and encouraged us, as one who prayed for us. Lord, thank you for all these gifts of this man. And Lord, we do offer our praise to you in thanksgiving that our lives are better for the knowing of this man. And thank you that now you have called him home. And we thank you that for him all sickness and sorrow are ended. Death itself is past. And he has entered into the rest that remains for your people. And we ask you, O Lord, that we would be inspired by the example of this your servant. And Lord, especially for his family, Lord, to take up, as it were, the collection, the treasure of these memories and the lessons learned. And to be inspired by that, that they and we all may run with patience the race that's still set before us. Ever looking, like Chuck did, unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So that when this mortal life is ended, we may be gathered with those whom we've loved in the kingdom of your glory, where there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain, for these former things, they will have passed away forever. Lord Jesus, you are good, and you have proven true the word that goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our lives, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And we thank you that you have made that a reality for us so that we do not grieve as those with no hope. But we grieve, there are tears, but Lord, in the bottom of it all, there is a joy, a wellspring of joy in us for what you have overcome and what you have given to us for all eternity. Glory be to you, O Lord. And with thanksgiving in our hearts for your servant, receive our praise and our thanks. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. How great thou art. Let's stand and celebrate the greatness of our God with the singing of hymn 323. Thank you. In the pews scattered about, I think there are about 50 copies of My Beloved Child. This was written by a dear friend of Chuck and Mariah a number of years ago. They read it together as a couple. Chuck read it to Mariah as she was passing into the presence of the Lord. And Liz, I believe you, the family, read this to Chuck. And they want to make this available to you. If there's not one in your pew, you sat too far back. And there are some in some of the pews closer to the front. I've got one here. I'd be happy to share with one if you didn't get one. But you might maybe take one per family if you see somebody who didn't get one. But share those. And Liz has more of these as well. Just contact her. She would be very happy to share these with you. After the benediction, we'll be dismissed. Chuck's casket will remain here in the chapel until the family and congregation has been dismissed. And we're all going to go down to the fellowship hall and mingle together around some good food and some fellowship. And I hope you'll take some time to tell some stories about Chuck and to express to the family your appreciation for this dear saint, this brother of ours. Let us receive the benediction. My brothers and sisters, may God bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and grant you peace. And he does through Jesus Christ, who is the resurrection and the life. Hallelujah. Amen.